I don't know. I'm pretty damn optimistic, especially the way this defense is playing. I'm servicing my stomach. That's the Sage talking. They still cannot believe, gentlemen, that I improvised two fresh songs in the span of 16 seconds. You can't do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Buccaneers fans, what a week this is. What a day it is for the Ira Kaufman podcast featuring none other than the king of Pasco County, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, Uncle Ira, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, and the custodian of Canton. Ira, the Buccaneers are in first place. They're 2-1. Your podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Start shopping immediately at BillCurryFord.com. What say you, Sage, about this crushing Buccaneers victory on Sunday?
Well, to quote the great Paul McCartney, maybe I'm amazed. Maybe I'm amazed. And I'll tell you what I'm amazed about. Buck fans used to getting their heads beat in, especially in the month of September. Some of them are now yakking that the Bucks aren't playing well enough. They're not closing the door. The second half lethargy. People, you're 2-1 with a damn good chance to be 4-1 before Green Bay comes in, before 15,000 screaming Buck fans in a few weeks. There's nothing to complain about. Yep, injuries are minimal. They're killing teams in the first half. They're blowing them out of the water. The defense is playing fantastic. So get over it, people. They're beating the teams they should beat. And if that continues, they're going to win two more games in the next 2 weeks. I like what this team's doing. And Lee, I think everybody that's a Tampa Bay sports fan in any sport should be very proud of what's going on right now with the baseball playoffs about to start. The Stanley Cup belongs to Amalie Arena, and the Bucks are in first place in the NFC South. Lee, there's a lot to be very happy about if you're a Bay Area sports fan.
Oh, sure. I initially, and I got credit to people who kind of changed my mind. Initially, I was appalled by the offense in the second half. I'm like, if you can't do this against the Broncos, although unlike you guys, I think the Broncos are better. Not a better team than the Bucks, obviously, but yeah, I know you guys act like they're the Jets or the Giants. I'm a far different believer. Anyway, I was appalled. I mean, I was actually angry that they had such a display of offense or lack thereof in the second half. Because if you can't do this today against Denver, what are you supposed to do against the Chargers, against the Packers, on down the line? And so that's how I felt. I was like, this offense has got to get straightened out. Otherwise, this team playoffs is idiocy. Well, Reader pointed out to me, hey, wait a minute. Denver had a chance to win their first game. They blew it on clock management. And he said their second game, even though they had a backup quarterback, it was a one-score game with Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh's a very good team. And he's, look what the Bucks did to them. And I like, you know what? I didn't think of it that way. And then Sean Sullivan, our good friend at Bill Curry Ford, the first family of Florida Tampa, he called me this morning, and he was saying, Lee, there was no doubt at halftime the Broncos weren't coming back on that defense. He said, so why would Arians open up his playbook and show his hand to the Chargers, the Packers, the Chiefs, etc.? He shut it down. He goes, it was like a preseason game offense. It was very vanilla on purpose. And that's another good point I didn't think of. All in all, I've taken a step back. I'm not critical. That was a fine job.
Steve, I don't want to be too simplistic here because you'll slap me around if I am, because you do it even when I'm not simplistic, but Steve, the story of the third quarter and half the fourth quarter was very simple from a Buck offense perspective. It's 1st and 20 every freaking time. You can't do that. You know, the Bucks don't have a deep strike offense. Brady doesn't have Patrick Mahomes on anymore, if he ever did. I'm putting the blame on Donovan Smith and Kappa and his cohorts. It was a ridiculous array of penalties up front in the second half, and I think it wrecked any chances the Bucks had of blowing the game open, Steve, just like some of the drop passes prevented that against Carolina. So there's some stuff to clean up, but Steve, the last 2 weeks, they're outscoring their opponents 44-13 in the opening half. We don't see that from the Bucks very often, Steven, that they jump on people and bury them at halftime. So I don't know. I'm pretty damn optimistic, especially the way this defense is playing.
Sure, very optimistic. I mean, I'm going to keep it more simple than you, Ira. Look, the Broncos, they're a shit team, in my opinion. When you roll out Jeff Driscoll, who's worse than Josh McCown, and then you pull him for Brett Rippon making his first NFL action, they weren't coming back. And they've got a million injuries. They're not the team they were opening day. And I was glad to see the Bucs thumped them by 3 scores. And it's fun to be at the point where we can finally nitpick and look for style points when a team wins by 3 scores. So, you know, the game was never in doubt. But the offense, Lee's right, the offense has to fix these things because you should be able to move the ball. Doesn't mean you can't move the ball just because you don't open up the playbook. And, you know, it got a little messy. Tristan Wirfs was on Buccaneers radio last night talking about how the team is really focused on playing with more energy in the second half and just not kind of losing it mentally and physically. And, you know, it's just something important to figure out. But, hey, first place, Ira, you can't mess with first place.
Can't mess with first place. Lee, I got to say, and it's taken me a while to come to this conclusion, and maybe I'm stretching this, Lee, you tell me, but by my count, that is 9 solid games in a row. Not great games, not 2002 Bucks, but 9 solid defensive performances in a row. That's more than half a season against all kinds of quarterbacks, including Drew Brees, Matt Ryan twice, Deshaun Watson. I mean, they're not all Jeff Driscoll. And this defense keeps getting better and better. Winfield looks like a stud. Shaq Barrett's back on the ball. Lee, I think the Chargers and the Bears, good luck against this defense in the next 2 weeks.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what Hebert does. Or is it Herbert? I don't know. I just know the guy's the first-round pick with the Chargers. So far, he looks like a hell of a pick, and it just flies my mind that it took a punctured lung for Anthony Lynn to get off his Tyrod Taylor kick. I mean, you got to be kidding me. What were you seeing in practice? If Herbert's doing this in the game, what were you seeing? More importantly, what were you not seeing in practice? I just can't. I just don't understand Tyrod Taylor.
It's taken me a while, especially after the first 10 games last season, but I think I'm speaking for all three of us. We are seeing what the hell's going on with Todd Bowles and his reputation as a fantastic defensive coordinator. These guys are coming from everywhere. Bowles is utilizing all his talent. Again, I think they've ripped off 9 straight good games on his side of the ball, and I got to give Bowles some credit. He's manning up.
Well, 2 things real quick. One is everybody's famous former starting guard for the Bucks in the creamsicle days said recently, he said, Bowles actually ran a stunt with 2 linebackers, Shaq Barrett and Devin White. Who does that? maybe they did that in Beckel's day. But anyway, Peter Schrager said this yesterday of NFL Network. The Bucks are 31-0 in the first quarter. So far, 3 games, 31-0. That tells me Bowles has these guys prepared. They're ready to go from the kickoff. How refreshing is that? How many years has this team always been playing from behind? I mean, it was notorious with Raheem. As much as I like Raheem, they were always playing. I mean, always. He was defensive coordinator. Maybe he's showing why he's not much of a defensive coordinator. Right. He won't be getting a job much longer the way the Falcons are going. And now it's just the opposite. Bowles has these guys prepared, ready to go.
You're right, and I'll give you an example. I think, Lee, you might have been the guy that said it. Or Steve, I think, said it. And Steve's right about Devin White. He's average right now in coverage. He's average, that might be even a little generous. You know, that'll be the last piece to his Pro Bowl puzzle. But he's a heat-seeking missile against the run, and Bowles is using him extensively, Steve, on the blitz. And he's getting there, and he's been very effective. I think he kind of set up the safety on Sunday. You know, you lean towards what the guy does best, and Bowles is on a roll right now, Stevie.
Look, Ira, this defense, it's dangerous. It's a dangerous defense. They have the talent to blitz because they have the speed. And I think Winfield has added a whole new dimension, and now they've got Whitehead blitzing effectively. He had a sack, and it's just exciting. And Bowles promised he would get a little more exotic this year, a little less vanilla, more experience. And they just have the horses to blitz like they're doing, and they blitzed the most in the league last year. So it's no surprise. You know, I want to see what happens when they start blitzing more polished quarterbacks. I think Herbert's gonna just get whitewashed this Sunday, but we have another podcast to talk about Sunday coming up. But how do the better quarterbacks handle the blitz? You can't blitz Aaron Rodgers like this and not get fried a few times.
Mahomes feasted on the blitz against the Ravens, and the Ravens got a hell of a defense, and he absolutely destroyed them on the blitz Monday night.
Sure, but I can't knock Bowles for doing what's working, so keep it up. It is fantastic stuff. Ira, your podcast, Bill Curry Ford, that's not just a name that we say. Sean Sullivan's not just a guy we're trying to make happy. He's a friend. Bill Curry Ford are friends of ours. We're all customers, and they will treat you like you've never been treated before at a car dealership. As Lee mentioned, family-owned, Tampa's first family of Ford for 60 years, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry. Ira, I know that you can flat out tell the folks they have treated you phenomenally well, and you love your 2024 Escape, one of the kinds of vehicles that are on a super discount right now as they try to clear out the 2020 inventory to make room for those 2021s.
Absolutely, and you know, it's almost time for another oil change, and it's a pleasure to go there, and they take care of business. They're very methodical, very organized. And while they're servicing my car, and Lee knows this, I'm servicing my stomach because I'm going inside that showroom, and they got the Big Storm kiosk set up, and I'm going to feast on a Cuban sandwich. And by the time I finish those final morsels and wash it down, my vehicle's ready. So they got it all going at Bill Curry Ford, you know, a mile north of the stadium, east side of Dale Mabry, full service. They can even take care of your insurance needs. And if you want to talk a little bit on the Bucks, there's nobody better than Sean Sullivan breaking it down. One of the great Buck fans we've ever met, guys.
Absolutely. BillCurryFord.com. That's the website, BillCurryFord.com. You can email Sean right from there if you just have questions to help guide you in your process of your next vehicle. Ira, we got so many details out of this game, and we're going to stay with the happy stuff for a while because I'm happy. Bucks fans are happy. We're all happy. Unbelievable. Shaq Barrett. He broke out here, Ira. He had his couple of sacks. He got his safety. He's still playing on that left side where he wasn't last year. Shaq made it clear last week that the decision to play on the left side this year was one he made with JPP. And they went to Bowles, and they're both good with it, which I thought was very interesting, very much a player's coach kind of move after Shaq had such a big year. But what do you see from him, Ira? What excites you about what's happening there? And does Sunday change what you think Shaq can do this season as far as maybe duplicating what he pulled off last year?
Well, obviously, I think it's fair to say he was super motivated going back to Denver. He was. Wanted to show Bradley Chubb and that coaching staff that they didn't know what they had in them. Todd Bowles knew, but the Broncos didn't. And I'm still giving Bowles most of the credit for grabbing Shaq Barrett as a free agent. The free agent find of 2019. Now, Steve, what you said about switching sides, that is not a minor detail. That is not. For elite pass rushers, they definitely have a preference of where they're coming from. I think as the season goes on, Lee, I think it's fair to say that Bowles is going to move Barrett all over the joint. He's good at it, and he's effective in a bunch of different spots. It was good to see him break through. I wasn't worried about Barrett through 2 weeks. New Orleans always has a nice plan for him. They had it last year, and he didn't do much against Breeze. And I wasn't worried about him because the word's out on Shaq Barrett now, Lee, where it wasn't a year ago when he was having that unbelievable September, what I call the greatest opening month by a defensive player in NFL history. I'm standing by that. You know, 9 sacks, 4 forced fumbles. You're not gonna see anything like that for an opening month. So he's back on track. And, you know, Lee, to Steve's point, they got so many weapons right now at Bowles' disposal. It's a beautiful thing. Is Barrett going to get 19 and a half sacks, Lee? He is not. I set the bar at 12. I might be shorting the man a little bit, but there's nothing wrong with 12. Lee, as long as the Bucks get 45 or 50 as a team, and it looks like they will.
I'm gunning for 12, and it has nothing to do with sacks, wins. No. Obviously, that's a high goal. But you know what? If the Bucks get 12 wins and they wrap up the division, Shaq's sack numbers are going to be, I wouldn't say irrelevant, but secondary. If they can get 12 wins, I know that's big talk. I'm not saying they will, but if they could reach that goal, And 12 wins, that doesn't get you a division. Then props to the Saints for turning things around. Right now, the Saints don't look like a 12-win team to me. The reason why Shaq blew up was Arians said that they focused so much on everybody else pounding the middle that Denver had to devote bodies to block in the middle, which left Shaq one-on-one.
He's going to win a lot of those one-on-ones. Yeah. He will.
Absolutely, Ira. Now, Rob Gronkowski, Ira, 93% of the snaps, a big change for him. He's catching footballs. He's looking active. He looks like a different player. Maybe he just needed a couple of games, like a couple of preseason games, and shake off the rust. But from the guy went from is he washed up to 93% of the snaps, that told me that the organization never thought for a second that Gronk wasn't ready to be Gronk.
He absolutely looked considerably better, guys, against the Broncos. And, Lee, I think we have to mention, he was wide open in the right corner of the end zone for an easy touchdown.
Yep.
And Brady, I think, held on to the ball too long. And by the time he launched it, Gronkowski was almost, basically past the end zone. That ball had to be delivered a second before that. And that was a hell of a route. That looked like the vintage Gronkowski, you know, faking that slant and breaking back into that right corner. So he probably should have had that touchdown. That one's on Brady. That's not on Gronk. He looked better. Lee, now, is he the guy that's going to, you know, beat a guy by 20 yards down the middle of the field? Maybe not. But I thought it was great, Lee, that he called himself a blocking tight end last week, tongue in cheek. Everybody knew he was kidding. He ain't getting paid $9 million to just be a blocker. I mean, that's not happening. So him and Howard got a lot of targets. I'll own up to this right now, gentlemen. We're not even out of September, and I'll own up to it. There may not be a worse prediction this year by anybody than me saying that Cameron Brate was going to be a big beneficiary of Tom Brady's presence. I guess he got on the field at the end as a blocker. What a prediction that was, gentlemen. I hope I'm right about the 11-5 record, but as far as the Brate thing's concerned, unless there's a couple injuries at the tight end position, Lee, he's buried so far down the depth chart, you can't find him with a flashlight.
The whole narrative last week, it sure looks like, in retrospect, that was a front. You know, Aaron's coming out right away. We don't throw to tight ends.
Right.
You know, and then, but Gronk obviously knew the game plan by the time he did his press conference, which was Friday, if I remember right. That goofy smile of his, like, I'm a blocking tight end, baby. And that big old, like, it was a misdirection. Hopefully the Broncos would bite on it. I don't know if they did or not. Started with Arians on Monday, ended with Gronkowski.
Steve, during all this revelry about being in first place and this and that and the defense, and Steve, we got to remind our loyal listeners that we provide balance here. And I just want to note, Steve, that the running game looked like it did week one instead of week two. No consistency, Fournette, no factor. And that's part of the reason that they don't look so good, trying to pad a lead in the second half is they don't run the ball that well.
All right, now, we're going to get to that, Ira. We're going to get to that. Now,
I want to make sure you don't forget about it, Steve.
Don't worry, Ira. We have plenty of time. Now, I want to let you know, Ira, that, you know, we make some jokes around here on the podcast that, hey, if you see water in your house, you got to call Florida's Elite Restoration right away. But we're not joking around. I want to be a little more serious today. Florida's ElitRestoration.com is where you can learn all about the disaster services from Florida's Elite Restoration. They are a great local company, not too big to give you personal family service, family owned, but not too small to where they can't cover the whole Bay Area and service you 24/7. If you see mold, if you come home and all of a sudden there's water behind the dishwasher and it's leaking out, you don't know what happened, it's probably a problem that's been brewing a while. You want to call them right away. Florida's ElitRestoration.com is the website. Put it in your bookmarks in case anything ever happens. You can go there. They're going to help you with your insurance navigating that because you don't want to go that alone. You want to call them first. They'll give you a free, completely free evaluation. They'll come out to your house, let you know what's going on, and then you can proceed intelligently instead of getting screwed by some of these restoration companies.
No question, Steve. And You know, the thing about mold that's unique is you got to act quickly. You can't fool around. This is not like a drawer that, you know, became loose, you know, in your cabinet. Let it go for a couple of weeks. You got to jump on it quick, and you call Florida's Elite Restoration. No obligation. They come out, and they'll give you an honest assessment. And if it's minor, no problem. But if they have to take care of it, you can't just let it go, Steve. So Florida's Elite Restoration will get the job done for you.
And they work with some great plumbing contractors. They've got a lot of amazing references. Florida'sElitereStoration.com is the website servicing the whole Bay Area. Ira, Ronald Jones, 13 carries, 53 yards, including a Mike Allstott-style run in the red zone, which was just a shocker, dragging seven tacklers with him, whatever it was. He had two catches for 20 yards. He seemed like he might have misplayed a throw, a short throw in the end zone or in the red zone a little bit. Got a little glare from Brady, but Leonard Fournette fumbled. He was also ineffective, seven carries for 15 yards. What is your assessment of that situation with that duo, in addition to what you just mentioned about the run game?
Well, maybe at this point it might be fair to say Ronald Jones is who he is. That's who he is. You know, he's going to average about 4 yards a carry. He's a little tougher than I thought he was. I thought he was totally finesse coming out of college, but he's got some toughness to him. You know, he's leaning forward a little bit. He is who he is. He's an okay back. I'm not sure they got an okay blockers in front of him. Fournette, I think he needs the ball more, and that's not my fantasy team talking. That's the Sage talking. I think he's a guy that needs to get into a rhythm. And I'm not sure the second half closer role suits him. I don't think it's going to end up being like that. I think Fournette is going to end up being the man. I don't know when. You know, I'm not letting the offensive line off the hook here, Lee. They didn't play particularly well. I thought Brady was under duress more than a few times against Denver, and they don't have Von Miller. So not a good game for the offensive line. Those penalties were ridiculous, Lee. Absolutely absurd, unacceptable in that third quarter. Every time you turn around, it's first and 20, it's second and 18, and that kills drives right then and there. Just like a sack on defense kills the other team's drive, those holding penalties kill you. Converting a first and 20 is not easy. The running game's got to do better, and I'm saying Jones is who he is. I think we've seen enough by now.
You gave me a lot to work with there, Ira. If the Bucs were a running team, I would say the running game has to do better. They're not a running team. Got to embrace that, Ira.
Lee, they're a play-action team.
I would say they're not. Play-action means you're a threat to run the ball. They're not a threat to run the ball. They are a passing team. Their weapons are in the passing game. Use the passing game. Use your playmakers. Ronald Jones is the playmaker. Sorry. I know the cult of Ronald Jones. Like, how can you say that about Ronald Jones? Well, I, you know, at some point, I got to see a play the guy makes.
Can I hear that voice again, DeKeffer? Can I hear that again?
How can you say that about Ronald Jones? I can say it very easily. You know, this is my favorite about Ronald Jones. This is my favorite excuse. Well, he would have had X amount of yards if it wasn't for penalties. Oh, my God.
Hey, Steve, considering the deplorable state of the music industry today, I think if we get the Kemper to do a full record of that voice, I think we can hit the top 10 with a single on that, Stevie.
Well, I was thinking when Lee did that, I thought maybe we should mic up Lee when Ronald Jones gets the start on Sunday. That might be fun.
the Bucs are a passing team. You've got to move off this fixation about running because they can't run. They're not a run-blocking team. Well, Fournette's a decent runner, but they're not using him. So, and Ronald Jones, he's just not that guy. So they're a passing team. And I am a firm believer in the Mike Leach philosophy. Balanced offense is a losing offense. Give the ball to your players. Ira, come on. Think about this, Ira. In the last 30, 40 years, name a handful of balanced offenses. I can only think of maybe four. It rarely happens. And don't try to pretend it happens. Put the ball in the hands of your playmaker. Let's put it this way. When Bobby Knight was coaching Indiana, who did he give the ball to? Steve Alford or Steve Isle? Steve Alford. You know, you put the ball in the hands of your playmakers. Kansas City's a balanced offense, but that's a rarity right there. San Francisco, Dallas comes to mind. I guess you go back to the Pittsburgh Steelers of the 70s. Rarely do you have a balanced offense. Both Cowboys teams, they, you know, both Landry and Jimmy Johnson, they were, but it's right. rare. It's right. rare. So put the ball in the hands of your playmakers. Go to your strength. Ride your horses. Use that passing offense. I mean, you got a Hall of Fame quarterback. Do that. Don't keep giving the ball to guys who can't get the job done. Otherwise, don't expect results.
That's a lovely speech, Lee. Lovely speech. I think you should give the commencement address for USF next year. Lovely speech to Kemper. However, Steve, do you want to go into Lambeau Field on January 18th in a playoff game, even with Brady, with a lousy running game, and it's 8 degrees? You know, it could be a factor down the road. I don't want Brady throwing 47 passes in an outdoor stadium in January. That's a losing formula, and I think the play action, and I know what Lee's saying, you don't have to be a running team, and I'm not asking him to be a running team, Steve, but I'm saying when you do run the ball, run it effectively, and I don't have the confidence right now that this is a efficient running game.
We danced this dance all through the offseason, and there's really not much to say. You know, we got Brady. He was supposed to make all these checks and great line calls, which was going to improve the running game. We were going to see the Bucs running into seven-man boxes and all this stuff, and it's going to open things up. Leonard Fournette's drooling for coming here, and it hasn't played out yet. So, you know, at some point you have to play to your strengths. I understand wanting to be balanced, because if you are paying running backs and you're calling run plays, then they might as well be freaking effective. But, you know, you have to be smart, and hopefully they can get this going here in a way where the whole offense looks more efficient. Dare I say, the offense of last year without the turnovers, we're not there yet. Arian said, Ira, the Broncos played split safeties all game. He told this to Dan Lucas, explained it, and that they double covered Evans everywhere he went the entire game. So he said, quote, if they want to play us that way, tight ends have to win inside. And that's what you saw. So, I mean, they are playing to the defense like any good offense has to do. But what troubles me, Ira and Lee, I want to hear what you guys think of this, is in the past years, we've seen Mike Evans doubled all over the field, especially before DeSean Jackson arrived, and even when Jackson was here for a bit. But on Sunday, Evans had 2 catches for 2 yards. Now, they were both touchdowns, but 2 catches for 2 yards. The Broncos aren't running out a bunch of Hall of Famers at cornerback. And Evans had 2 yards on opening day. And now Chris Godwin, most likely, is lost for a game or two. I'm a little concerned that they're not finding ways to get Evans open.
Well, Steve, I think you might have forgotten that Evans dominated the first half of the Carolina game. He dominated it. They couldn't stop him.
That's 1 game out of 3.
I don't have a problem, Steve. They're scoring a lot of points. They're blowing teams out in the first half. And if they want to pay that much attention to Evans, now they have the weapons to make teams pay for that. Godwin's a full-blown star. He was not that way as a rookie. He is now. And I think teams are going to learn that you cannot focus on just one guy with this Buck offense. I like the idea that the targets could change from week to week. And if, you know, Lee, if Evans doesn't get 1,000 yards this season, and it's too early to say he won't, but Lee, if he doesn't, and they go 11-5, I'm okay with that.
You know, I predicted before the season Evans would not get 1,000 yards. Steve has a fair point that, you know, are they getting Evans open? I mean, as pathetic as the Bucs were Evans' rookie year, they actually got him open. Now, Vincent Jackson was on a team, but in the past, before DeSean Jackson came around, Evans was getting double-teamed all over the place. He was still able to get 1,000 yards. I guarantee you someone's going to punch their windshield when I say this. But they had a quarterback that winged the ball down the field, and that's a fact. So that had something to do with it. But I think Steve's got a valid point. However, as long as you're winning, I don't think anybody's going to care. Like I said earlier about Shaq, if the Bucs win 12 games and Shaq gets 9 sacks, then one's saying it. Outside of maybe Drew Rosenhaus.
Steve, let's not forget that at this rate, you know, Evans could easily end up with a dozen touchdown pass catches, and that would probably be a career high, and that's nothing to sneeze at. So he is reaching the end zone, Steve. I understand the two catches for 2 yards. It's not what we used to for a Pro Bowler like Mike Evans, but, you know, thank God he's not a diva, and he's not going to, you know, demand more catches and walk into Arian's office and you know, glower at him, you know, standing over his desk. He's not that type. They're 2-1, Steve. They're scoring plenty of points, and Evans is the least of their problems.
All right, Ira, how about a little secondary trivia? You up for a little rapid fire, a couple of quick questions here?
Of course, my friend, of course.
All right. Now, Ira, Jamel Dean, the monster of pass breakups last year, he's been playing a lot this year. He's in the mix. How many pass breakups does he have?
He has one.
Very good, Ira. Very good. Now, I don't think he's any worse. It's just a function of the defense. But Jamel Dean now, who has more solo tackles, Jamel Dean or Devin White?
It's got to be Devin White, my friend.
It's Jamel Dean. He's sixth, tied for sixth in the league. So I bring that up, Ira, because he's a very talented player. He's got a very well-rounded game, except he never, in my opinion, fully puts it all together. Sometimes he looks lost in zone defense. Sometimes he's just not, you know, he's inconsistent during a game. And now he's going to have a chance, most likely, with Sean Murphy Bunting pulling a hamstring, hopefully not worse than just a pull, to be the starter on the outside and be on that field all game. And, you know, he's got Keenan Allen coming in here, and Carlton Davis will probably take care of him. But, you know, it's a big opportunity for Dean. It could last for a while. What do you think of Dean here getting the spotlight?
Well, towards the end of last year, I actually leaned towards Dean over Carlton Davis. Now, Davis has continued to grow. Once in a while, he gets a brain freeze, which did happen. I think he was victimized on that late first half touchdown catch.
Yep.
But he's a heck of a player, Davis. He does a lot of things well. Short tackler.
Penalties.
But don't sleep on Dean. Don't sleep on Dean. Yeah, they got Keenan Allen. He had a big game last week. And they also have big Mike Williams, you know, 6'5", tall order there. So, you know, the Chargers can strike you downfield with this big, strong-armed rookie quarterback. But I got plenty of faith in Dean. I don't think Bunting is necessarily any better than Dean. And I like the Bucs' depth there. And with the way Winfield's playing, the second and Whitehead, the secondary's becoming a strength where I thought it was a real question mark coming into this season. I'm a Jamel Dean fan. I'm astonished, Steve, frankly, that he's got more solo tackles than Devin White, who after week two, Devin White led the league in total tackles. So you're telling me a week later, Dean has more solo tackles than Devin White? Lee, that's astonishing.
If you think of it, maybe not, because Dean plays on the outside because he's a cornerback. White plays on the inside. What do coaches always tell you? Get guys to the inside, squeeze them inside, because there's, you know, that's where the cavalry is. That's where the bodies are. So right. That's not really a shock. He plays between hash marks, White does, much more than Dean does. And, like, again, your opportunities to get a guy in open space is probably better as a corner than an inside linebacker, only because of where they are on the football field. Nothing else. What you said about Dean a little bit ago, Ira, you used one word, and it was the perfect word. Sleep. He falls asleep sometimes. Gets caught napping. That's why he's not starting. You know, yeah. Steve would say inconsistency, and that's fair. But he gets caught napping every once in a while. Gives up, what was it, New Orleans. Gave up a big, not Rich Gannon, but Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman went nuts on Dean. Said, oh, that was lazy. He got lazy. And gave up a big gain when it looks like the defense had clamped down on New Orleans in the second half. So that's his issue. That's why he's not starting. You know, hopefully that will change. He'll work out of that. He'll be more consistent. He is talented, no doubt about it. Sleep was a key word. Very apt of you. Very observant.
Thank you, my friend.
Bruce Arians, you know, had his little chat with the media on Monday, and he called Antoine Winfield Jr. a very rare breed. That's the quote, very rare breed. And he also explained that no problem for Winfield to now transition to nickel with Murphy Bunting probably out because he said Winfield ran as the number two nickel all through training camp, so no big deal. And I know the Bucks just kind of gloss over this, and they love Winfield when you bring him up, but what this guy is pulling off, Ira, is just, it's mind-boggling what this kid is doing, and it's not like he has a bunch of veterans around him grooming him and all this stuff. I mean, he's just jumping in, and he's taken over, and I didn't bring it up last week, but Whitehead was on the Buccaneers in-house podcast with Jeff Ryan and Scott Smith. Whitehead talked about how Winfield is coaching him up, and that basically Winfield is more of a mentor to him than he is to Winfield.
That's the beauty of this whole thing, Lee. It's the absolute beauty of it. Let's look at this Winfield kid. It's certainly not his size. It's certainly not his physical attributes, although he's quick to the ball. Lee, it comes down to one very rare breed trait. His football intelligence is off the charts. It's off the charts. That's why Arians keeps gushing about this kid. Everything you throw at him, he's already prepared for it. He hits the film room. He hits the playbook. And I know some people are already saying this. Lee, you might have said this. Some of our readers are throwing it out there. I know it sounds crazy because he's a first-year player. But you're hearing the name Rondé Barber. You're hearing it in terms of versatility. Skill set, and mostly important, intelligence. Because I used to say Rondé Barber was the smartest football player in the league, in the whole league.
More than Derek Brooks, even.
More than Brooks, Peyton Manning. Nobody studied film like Rondé Barber. And, you know, this guy's pedigree with his father, absolutely fantastic. What a draft pick by the Bucks. I'll give Bowles some credit, and I'm going to give Light and the staff some credit. But this second round pick looks like a darn steal, an unabashed steal at this point. And you can tell the confidence that Winfield brings to the table with all of three games of experience. Lee, the kid is super smart from a football perspective.
He is intelligent. After the second game, Rondé Barber does X's and O's feature, a video feature for Buccaneers.com. And he was breaking down, you mentioned Rondé Barber. He was breaking down Winfield. And there's one particular play where Winfield made a tackle. And Rondé Barber said, this is teaching tape material. Because you could use this play in a teaching tape, how to tackle on this play. I mean, he was just raving about him. And that's Rondé Barber, Mr. Intelligence, as you would say. And Steve was the first one to point this out, that when he gets behind the line of scrimmage, he really looks like Rondé Barber, the way he defends the run, the way he blitzes. It's really reminiscent of Rondé. It very much is. Now, the Bucs, it sounds like, have a volunteer assistant secondary coach, because Winfield, every week, he does a film session with his dad, whether it's Zoom or over the phone. I don't know how they do it, but they have a film session that him and his dad go over his play. And darn if I wouldn't hire that guy. Because it sounds like his dad knows what he's doing. But I really would. Either that or his dad's trying to get a job somewhere else in the NFL. But it sounds like his dad knows what he's doing as far as coaching people up. And that's pretty cool. And that shows dedication and discipline as well. Other guys would be out chasing skirts, pounding beers, whatever. Instead, Winfield's going over his tape with his dad. That shows discipline.
Like Ira back in 1967. It was pounding beers and...
Hey, Steve, you know the irony of this discussion with Winfield and when you bring Rondé Barber's name into the conversation? Here's the irony, Steve. Rondé Barber was a screw-up as a rookie. He was terrible. And who says so? Rondé Barber. Rondé Barber couldn't get on the field as a rookie. The Bucs had no faith in him. Dungy didn't trust him. And here comes Winfield. And from, day one, with no preseason games, no OTAs, and an abbreviated off season in terms of hitting, looks like he belongs from day one. It's quite extraordinary.
Let alone at multiple positions, which we're going to see now him playing nickel, and the Bucs are going to dare to put Mike Edwards out there full time when Brett Rypien is not on the field throwing passes. But We will get through it, Ira. We will take deep breaths, and we will have plenty of Big Storm beer on hand, which is a must for any Buccaneers game. Florida's best craft beer is Big Storm beer, and you can find it at the Big Storm tap rooms in Odessa on Success Drive, and also at the flagship location on 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road in Clearwater. At joebucksfan.com, you can find the Storm Tracker. That'll let you know where to buy the beer in your zip code. And, of course, at bigstormbrewery.com. And at the tap rooms, they've got fantastic food. It's a great environment. Ira, you were there, as you are for every Bucks road game, watching with fans on Sunday in Clearwater. Give us a little bit of the vibe. What did you eat? I saw a, must have been the catch of the day, a hogfish sandwich. I think Lee almost fell over in his chair. What was going on there, Ira?
We had a nice turnout. Man Beast Zach was there, or, you know, warding off anybody who approached me with evil intent over there, Isbits. A lot of people were watching me like a hawk. They want to know whether I was going to go for the brisket or the ribs, both of which I was tipped off to in opening week against the Saints. And instead, when the waitress came over and said, our special today is hogfish. Now, I can just see DeKemper turning his nose up. Hogfish, I want no part of that. Well, I've had it at a few good restaurants, and it's quite a delicacy. And so I went with the hogfish, gentlemen, and I was not disappointed. Of course, the Brimosa on Sunday. We had a lovely time, good turnout, indoors and outdoors. They've done a marvelous job with that beer garden. The service is outstanding. The menu's outstanding. Can't wait. I guess the next one will be a night game, and I'll be out there. I expect Mr. Isbits to join me. We shall see. By the way, when Zach comes out there with his brother and his buddies, I mean, these guys go crazy over fantasy football. Absolutely nuts. The ecstasy, the agony, and they follow every game that's going on simultaneously. So immediately, I know everything that's going on, but it's a great atmosphere out there at Big Storm.
Yes, Ira, the next game is the road game a week from Thursday at the Chicago Bears. I expect, Sage, that you'll probably roll in about 6:15 to have a proper dinner, let it digest and relax, and the Bucks will fire things up. It's going to be a lot of fun, beautiful outdoor area. There'll be even more improvements as they finish off the final touches of the outdoor area. So very exciting stuff. Big Storm. You get all the details at joebucksfan.com. Ira, Tristan Wirfs wanted to bring this up. He was talking on Buccaneers radio, and he had a couple of interesting things to say. One of them was that he likes run blocking more, but he was really shocked coming into the combine because he thought he was a much better pass blocker than a run blocker. And he said he got to the combine, and the feedback he got from all the teams was, dude, you're much better at run blocking. And I thought that was very strange because, obviously, he was hearing that from his coaches at Iowa, right? Why would he just come up with that out of the blue if that wasn't what he was hearing at Iowa, where they know offensive linemen very well? So I almost wonder if Wirfs thought, man, I'm going to be seen as a left tackle, and I'm going to play left tackle somewhere because I'm better at pass blocking and I can run block too. I thought that was interesting, but he said the Bucks are working with him, and he likes his play, and he feels he's doing well. And I just want to put out there, Ira, in the perspective of these, you know, the big four that you wrote so much about coming out of the draft, Mekhi Becton with the Jets, Frank Gore is saying that he's basically Larry Allen. This is Frank Gore talking, saying that this guy's just unbelievable. And Jedrick Wills with the Browns has been extremely strong. And Andrew Thomas has struggled a bit with the Giants at left tackle, where they originally planned him at right tackle. But it looks like that class is strong. And just what are your thoughts about Wirfs and where he is?
I've been happy with Wirfs. If you're a Buck fan, you don't hear his name a lot. That's a compliment to a right tackle. He's been okay on pass protection. I'm not sure what those Iowa coaches were telling Wirfs on a weekly basis, but look, all three of us read the scouting reports on Wirfs, and they were all consistent. Might struggle at the start against speedy edge rushers, but he's a road grader. That's the report on Wirfs. And of course, you know, Iowa is known for those humongous offensive linemen, and a powerful ground game. And we all looked at Wirfs as a run grading right tackle who's going to try to help an underperforming ground attack. Through 3 weeks, the Bucs ran well in week two and did not run well in the other two games. We'll see what happens against the Chargers. But Wirfs has been fine, Lee. I don't think he'll make the all-rookie team necessarily, but he certainly no bust. I think the Bucs are happy with him, and I think as the season goes on, he'll be better. And I haven't seen him struggle particularly in pass protection, which, to me, that's what it's all about.
Obviously, Wirfs has to be a run blocker if he's at the Big Ten. I mean, for the most part. Not right. As much as what it used to be. But for the most part, the Big Ten is still a ground-and-pound conference. And right. I remember when the Bucs drafted Adrian Claiborne, you know, Brian Billick was saying, if you're playing in Iowa, you have to know how to defend the run. Well, the flip side of that coin is also obvious. If you play at Iowa, you better know how to run block. Because if you can't run block, I don't think you're going to be playing much at Iowa. Run blocking in college against children and run blocking in the NFL are two different animals. And it was great to see that Wirfs, right off the bat, was not embarrassed by Cam Jordan, a Pro Bowl pass rusher. That was really great to see. I was like, oh, boy, I hope this guy doesn't get lit up. But he didn't get embarrassed, and that was a good sign.
And, Ira, in case you thought Wirfs was listening to this podcast or reading your columns, he's not, or at least he's not paying attention, because one of the interesting nuggets Wirfs dropped is that he did not know that Shaq Barrett played for the Broncos. So talk about a guy disconnected from the media. I like it.
Don't they get those Iowa guys a nice laptop or a nice a nice iPad once in a while over there? What are they doing up there?
All right, Sage. Now, listen, you are a madman, a multimedia guru. And before we get out of here, I wanted to ask you and Lee, you know, of course, you guys have been around forever in the market, not as long as Ira, of course, Lee. Not nearly implying anything of the sort. But
well, you got seniority on me, Steve.
I know. I realized when I said it, I spoke out of turn. But Ira, the Stanley Cup is in the books for the Tampa Bay Lightning. That is a massive accomplishment. Your thoughts, your feelings, you covered the Lightning. You know everybody over there. You get your VIP treatment whenever you pick up the phone and say you want to go to a game. What do you want to say to the good folks of Tampa? And maybe even tie it to the Bucks a little bit if you can find an angle there.
Well, I feel very happy for everybody in that organization. You're right, Steve. I know a lot of them, right down to the trainer and the guy, the equipment manager and the video guy. And they've had a lot of continuity there and some of the assistant coaches. So I was watching with a lot of pride last night as they all posed for that picture around the Stanley Cup. They've been the most talented team in the NHL for most of the last 5 years and didn't have a lot to show for it until last night. They were clearly the better team as they have been throughout these playoffs. You know, with rare exception, they outplay the opposition. Hooper does a good job of keeping his guys focused. And it's great for the city of Tampa, and maybe it's a forerunner of what's going to happen on the baseball diamond and the football field. Steve, may I indulge you gentlemen for a moment with a story? May I?
Is it about that chick in Edmonton?
Never mind that. I want to tell a little story because you guys didn't see me on Fox 13 on Sunday when I made a reappearance, a guest cameo appearance on the Buck Tailgate Show, and I got a quick story for you guys. I went on to do this Make Your Case segment, and I went up against Kevin O'Donnell. And O'Donnell didn't know that I was going to be the guest, mystery guest, and Scott Smith, the host, set the whole thing up. And we did it on Zoom. And the topic was the Bucks are going to Denver. Everybody knows the song Rocky Mountain High by John Denver. Come up with three other songs that were affiliated with a city or a state that you would nominate as you know, a great song. So I thought about it, and we were going to do the Zoom call the next day. So I came up with By the Time I Get to Phoenix, the late, great Glenn Campbell, Mr. DeKemper. Sweet Home, Alabama, because we're in the South, and Old Blue Eyes, New York, New York. Now, that's a strong trio, gentlemen. Well, I get on the Zoom call.
It's a strong trio if you're 78 years old. Go ahead.
Never mind that. So, you know the demographics skew on the older, tend towards the older on that show. So
sure.
He introduces me and he says, "All right, Kevin, you won the first 2 weeks. Let's see if you can hold on again. And you're on the clock, Mr. O'Donnell." And he starts off with Sweet Home Alabama. That's his first song. Then he says, "Well, in 1979, the Bucks had this highlight song, Hey, Hey, We're the Buccaneers." That was his second one.
Swing and a miss.
Yeah, swing and a miss. I knew I had won as soon as he said that. That's a disqualification. Now, on to number three, and I'm watching this. And he says, "Well, it's got to be Sinatra, New York, New York." Now, I'm watching this. The man has stolen two out of my three songs. And I'm watching this, and in the next 15 seconds, I will have to be on the air with the clock running. So Scott Smith says, "All right, Kevin, that's two hits and a miss for you. Ira, what do you got?" And I start off and I say, "O'Donnell, it's good to see you. I'm surprised you're not in a helicopter looking at a high school to see what Mozzie Wilkins is doing." That got a couple of laughs out of Scott Smith. Then I said, "O'Donnell, you took two out of my three songs, but I will not repeat those songs." And I came up with two new ones in the span of 16 seconds. And like, they're stunned. They're looking at me like, "You can't do that. That's impossible."
I'm so thinking of one right now, a 60s band. But
so I said, "Number one, by the time I get to Phoenix, the late, great Glenn Campbell." Scott Smith said, "Good choice, Kaufman. Good choice, Sage." Number two, "Midnight Train to Georgia," Gladys Knight and the Pips. Scott Smith said, "Don't forget about those Pips. They're underrated," with a smile. I knew I was in right then and there. And then, gentlemen, I come up with the clincher. The game-sealing touchdown. "Philadelphia Freedom," Elton John. And I say, his tribute to Billie Jean King, because it was about her women's tennis team. And I said, "On a week that we celebrate the life of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, we must honor another champion of the women's rights movement." And the 60-second thing ran down to zero. And Scott Smith said, "This is a runaway. O'Donnell, you just got trounced. Kaufman, you are the winner." And they still cannot believe, gentlemen, that I improvised two fresh songs in the span of 16 seconds. It might have taken DeKemper 16 minutes to come up with those songs. I did it in 16 seconds. I rest my case, gentlemen.
Well, you were talking, I came up with two, and they're professional sports cities. Not a reach, like, although it's a great song, but it's not a reach like Sweet Home Alabama. That's too easy. Plus, there's no professional sports team of note in Alabama. The first one was, I'm shocked you didn't say that. Both of these, I'm shocked, Ira. You're a blues guy. Wasn't it Buddy Guy, Sweet Home Chicago?
Sweet Home Chicago, very strong. Very strong.
And the next one is really dropping the ball. It's about the former home of the Tampa Bay Lightning. It's in your wheelhouse. I can't believe it, Ira. Rolling Stones, "Sympathy for the Devil."
Oh, what's that got to do with the fairgrounds? The Lightning used to play in the
fairgrounds. No, the second home of the Lightning, not the first home. The second home. I said former home.
Oh, you mean the dome, home of the devil.
Yeah, okay. It used to be the Lightning.
I gotcha.
"Sympathy for the Devil," that line in there, they're going to St. Petersburg. You dropped the ball, Ira.
That's St. Petersburg, Russia, DeKemper. That's Russia.
That's all right. It says St. Petersburg. That's all you need. They don't say Russia in there. It just says St. Petersburg.
All right, Ira. Next time you're on this silly game show, you can go with Alicia Keys or Pitbull. You'll sound much more cool.
Steve, we better get out of here before we start talking about songs from the 1940s.
Lee, when Ira told me this television story, you would have thought he just hit a hole-in-one at the Masters or something. I've heard this story before. Ira, I'm impressed how impressed you are, but good job. It looked very good on television. And I want to let the listeners know, because I've heard inquiries about this, Ira's appearance on Fox 13's Tailgate Sunday, he was a regular the last couple of years, but Ira is a fierce negotiator, and he got with his agent, and they weren't going to pay him enough, so he said, sorry, gentlemen, I will only be a special guest. So good for you, Ira, for being a firm negotiator.
Well, you know, we couldn't reach an accommodation. In the words of The Godfather, we couldn't reach an accommodation.
Yes, but they still love you, and that is a testament to your sageness. The podcast is available at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts, other platforms. You could subscribe free. You can leave a comment if you want to. And if you've lasted this long, you probably have some good comments. So go for it. We got a lot to get to next in the next episode, Ira. And of course, we thank Bill Curry Ford for their presenting sponsorship. Sean Sullivan's ready for you. Call him, email him, walk in, text him. Scream from your rooftops, and you'll probably see him at the Bucks game on Sunday where there'll be limited fans let in there. So he is always ready to help any Bucks fan. And FloridasEliteRestoration.com is the website for any disaster needs that you have. And, of course, they're mold remediation specialists. And we talked about Big Storm Beer. They are the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Lee, Ira, you guys got any wisdom you want to get out of here with, or should we – spare the folks who listen to Ira's Glenn Campbell references and let him get out of here?
Well, this rhinestone cowboy wants to remind everybody that I almost hit the score on the head last week, guys. I picked 27-13. I happen to be 3-0 in picking Buck games this year. And in our next podcast, gentlemen, we will delve into the upcoming game against the Chargers and just a little sneak peek. I do not think I will be picking the visitors for Sunday.